encourage that.
All right.
It's a very respectful question.
Nate, if you'd like to sit at the table, just
you're ready to go.
All right, I'm going to call the meeting to order. This is the American Rescue Plan Act Special Committee meeting, August 30th, 2023, and it's 5 p.m. If you could call the roll.
Criswell.
Here.
Corcoran.
Here.
Levine.
Here.
Lopez is absent, and Sperry is absent.
Alrighty. And could I get a motion to approve of the minutes of the July 26th, 2023 meeting?
Motion.
I need a second.
And all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. Approved. I did want to mention one thing about Legislator Sperry. So she has a conflict for tonight and for next meeting. But we're not going to try and do any changes or anything. If she misses that one, we can still fill her, and she'll be here for the October one.
Okay.
So we're just going to move as we're scheduled. So. All right, I'm going to take things out of order to let Lauren get out of here. So, could I have a motion to discuss Resolution 473?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, great. So, what we're talking about here today is changes to the Silver Garden contract. And so, what I wanted to make sure of was that we were aware of the changes and why those changes occurred. And you know, make sure that we had any questions answered, so that when we go back to our caucuses, we can answer those. So, all right. So, I have some highlights, but do you want to just give us kind of the highlights of what the changes were, and then we can dive in and see if there's anything that I have that you don't cover?
Certainly.
Actually, why don't you introduce yourself first?
Sure. Good evening. I'm the project manager with RUPCO, and very pleased to be working on the Silver Gardens project. And you know, I would say I think there's been some time in terms of initially making the ARPA request for geothermal costs and the installation of the system as part of our senior supportive project. And I think some of the changes relative to when we were initially proposing the unit type, population, age restrictions and such changed with the latest HCR application, which was submitted in December of 22. And we were awarded credits by this April.
So remember, was there one that was submitted that was not awarded?
There actually have been four applications.
Okay, all right. So
we were very pleased to finally be awarded.
All right.
But I think initially this project was proposed to be for those 55 years and older.
Mm-hmm.
And that was changed to 62 years and older because of the funding source. HCR recommended that we go through the senior housing subsidy program, which requires the increased age of 62 and older, so that was the basis for that change. I also think, in terms of the populations, there may have been some changes between, you know, number of seniors, let's say at 50%, or number of units at 50% of AMI or 60% of AMI, and I know for the non-ESHI, the non-supportive units, for which there are 29 units. The 28 units for seniors are now at, there are 10 at 50% of AMI and 18 at 60% of AMI. So those are some of the initial changes I know that have taken place. I'm certainly happy to answer any questions, but I will say for the most part, it really was in working with the agency, with HCR, that most of these changes, as far as trying to maximize the potential of being awarded tax credits for the project, that's really why you know, most of the changes have materialized.
And then, just in general, how do you see that affecting our community? Because that's a kind of significant age difference there, from 55 to 62. So, what's your thoughts on that?
Certainly, at least in terms of the market study that was conducted, and we had one updated reflecting the change in age to 62 and older. The demand is still very high, and you know, perhaps not so much on a personal level within specific, you know, specifically, and I may be mispronouncing Highland.
Highland, yeah.
But in terms of the catchment area for the market study, there is still high demand with the change to 62 and older.
Okay, and the changes with the financial requirements. Can you talk about that a little bit more, again, in terms of sort of the community and how that affects, you know, applications?
Sure. Oh, yes. So for this project, for the ESHI units, those come through referrals. Mm-hmm. And basically this is, there's, let's see, 19 frail elderly with reserved units, 8 chronically homeless, and 2 units for those with HIV AIDS. Mm-hmm. And those are targeted populations for the ESHI units. Mm-hmm. So those are separate and apart from HCR or from our marketing efforts.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And are there any other substantial changes that were made from the initial contract to this one that you know of?
Well, I will say, even during this process of preparing to applying for financing and getting ready for construction closing, mm-hmm. we have elected to add a second elevator mm-hmm. to the building. We had some concerns given the adapted units related to mobility and hearing and visual. Mm-hmm. And those units are spread over the 3 floors. So an important accommodation to support the population is we're adding in construction costs related to a second elevator. Mm-hmm. That's been a change. We're still waiting on HCR's view and perspective on that. Mm-hmm. But we had major concerns as far as the functionality, given the situation where the elevator went down, mm-hmm. To make that change in terms of design.
That's great. And can you just give us a little update on timeline for all this?
Oh, certainly. So the aim, subject to HCR's view, is to be able to close by November 1st. So that is really moving along. There's good momentum. Our investors, Raymond James and TD Bank is the construction lender and CPC is the permanent lender. Mm-hmm. So the aim is to close on construction and
sorry about that.
In November, and then there's an 18-month construction term. So that basically is the time frame, at this point in terms of starting construction, 18 months, and then hopefully within 3 to 6 months of completion to lease up the building.
Okay. Legislators, any questions here?
No, hit the points I was.
Questions on the ARPA team side?
I have nothing specific additional to add. First questions I'm happy to respond.
Anything? Okay. So what we're voting on is basically just adopting the amendments to the contract. Is that correct? What we're doing here? All right. So I'm going to call the question. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Oppose? No. All right, great. It passes. All right, thank you.
Thank you. Have a wonderful evening.
Have further questions, do you have a card with you?
Oh, certainly.
We might get some other questions from some of our colleagues.
Sure.
And so do you have a summary of kind of what you just said to us? Could you just, like, short paragraph?
Sure.
Just hit those bullet points so that when we're talking in caucuses, we can just explain really quickly. And please add the additional elevator and any other additional accommodations or things that are positive things for the project that we should know about. It's always good to have a little sugar there,
Sure. Thank you.
I actually don't see this as necessarily a bad thing, the 55 to 62, but it is a significant difference. So I want to be able to make sure we can explain it clearly.
Certainly.
So, all right, great.
Sure.
All right, excellent.
Thank you very much.
Nice to meet you. Thank you very much.
Sure.
All right, I'm going to move us on to project reporting. So let's start with just CARES 2 for a moment, just to make sure we know where we're all at with CARES 2. So thank you. Obviously, still lots of conversation going on about CARES 2, and I still feel like we did what we needed to do in terms of we had contracts, we had to award those contracts, and so that is moving forward, is my understanding. Do you know if they actually have the contracts, new contracts created and out to the small businesses?
Oh, I don't know. Out to the small businesses?
Oh, I see what you're saying. That's through USITA, so
right.
I don't know.
Okay,
about
nobody's
that, but
here.
I know about
we have the 2.0 contract signed.
Okay.
So that's going to, well, I think once that's approved, then they're going to redraft those contracts for the small businesses.
Yeah, that's been really our push is number one, processing as they come in for the eligible awardees, and that's all we've seen so far, which is as it should be.
Right.
Because we only have the one contract at the moment,
right.
But we do have a signed, vendor signed contract for the ineligible.
Mm-hmm.
Now that the resolutions, those things are passed. And we also have a signed amendment so that the existing contract will go down to the correct amount for eligible. So we're concerned about processing invoices for eligible is where we've done a lot of work,
mm-hmm.
and also push getting through the steps. The amendment on the existing contract, which is signed by the vendor,
mm-hmm.
and the new contract, so
right.
with between the county and USITA.
Right.
Yeah.
And then every one of those 17 small businesses will get a new contract.
Yeah.
So there's still quite
That's
a process
the way I
that they have to go through. I would love for us to move this along to be able to get them money and so that we can kind of get this behind us as quickly as possible. So I will talk with Amanda about where things are at with that and that contract process. Any idea where things are at with the two nonprofits?
Yeah. Happy for a question if you have it. So I've definitely spoken a number of times, had a number of conversations within the Department of Finance. We have a meeting tomorrow morning. Our division meets weekly with Commissioner Daw. And basically, we just need the transfer to occur. That's
mm-hmm.
the way our division sees it, and we are facilitating as much as possible. Too, we have new staff in the department,
mm-hmm.
And we are eager ourselves to get that.
So, is there a holdup for some reason?
There is the probably that there's still things being done with the audit, so there's a lot that is. So it's basically just getting to the point where it's complete, and I hope that's done as quickly as this week. I'll know
okay.
a lot more tomorrow. I've already spoken with Commissioner Daw once earlier in the week. I know it's on her desk, and I'm very eager just to...
we just got to get past these, get the nonprofit situated, get those other small businesses, get the ineligible, move past it, and then we can have another conversation about what if any next steps, but I don't want to do that until we actually get this all sorted. Are we in agreement with all that?
And potentially changing, I think, the organizing structure in terms of logistical, not maybe going through the EDA, but through maybe the IDA, I think we were talking about.
Yeah, I looked into a bunch of different possibilities and had a lot of conversations about the different tools that we have, and I actually think it came back around to the EDA actually being our best bet for this type of thing. So what I'd like to do is give them a little bit of time to kind of get themselves together, get all the paperwork that the comptroller has asked for, give them some time to kind of sort their act and then revisit it. So this is in direct relation also to the Boost for Main Streets program, which is supposed to go through EDA. And what I've talked to economic development about is just kind of going really slow on that for the moment. So there's a contract created, but we're not going to address that contract for a little while until we can get a better understanding of where the EDA is with their process and how the comptroller's feeling about that. Basically, what I want to do is I want to get the comptroller's seal of approval before
mm-hmm.
we move forward. I just think that would be smart for us to do that, because she's going to be the loudest voice naysaying it if we move forward. So I don't think it's going to hurt anything. That program is not even fully baked yet, so I think that's not going to be a problem. I'm still going to continue to look into IDA, other possibilities, but like I said, I did have a bunch of conversations, and there's advantages to keeping it within the county rather than going out, and so, but I'm open to conversation if you all have other ideas about, you know, other entities or bring some research to the table that says we should actually do something differently. I'm happy to hear from anybody else. I don't know if you have any thoughts on the matter or would like to or would not like to chime in about it. I don't want to put you on the spot if you don't feel comfortable.
I think I could just say, I mean, I think our main concern, if we're talking a little bit about Main Street, is just that we meet our deadlines for ARPA, and, you know, this, and I totally understand that this is going to take a little time, but...
Right. Yeah, all right. So let's jump into a couple other of the projects. I don't think we have to go through all the projects today. Mm-hmm. I think let's just highlight the sort of ones that are... that have some issues action around them. There. So, let's talk about parks. How are we doing on the parks contracts?
Yep. We have a draft contract for our first municipality, and I know we're actually Ashley's been doing a lot going forward on getting like scopes of works done and resolutions drafted and things like that. So we're prepping as much as possible. We did meet with the county attorney to present what I was hoping was going to be a final contract, but he wanted some more done, and that's just going to take me a little more time, unfortunately. And that's one reason why we didn't get something in for this month, but we need to just make some additional edits and we'll probably present it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so we're expecting next month we'll have?
I absolutely hope so.
Okay.
Yeah. A couple contracts? At least so. One? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm shooting for.
And then...
starting with the M's.
Say again?
Starting with the M's.
Starting with the M's.
Yeah.
There's other contracts for sewer and water that are outstanding,
yep,
right? So, you know what, let's quickly go.
I know, it's
hard to go popcorn all over
the
place, so...
Totally understand.
All right. Crisis relief, we're still in the process of trying to figure out staffing for that, right? Go back.
Crisis
to
stabilization center?
No, up to the front.
Agricultural crisis. Exactly. Yes, that's my understanding.
Do you know if that is that
I don't have
out
any
there?
Real update, unfortunately, on that.
I think it's still on the website.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
be good to know, like, are we getting resumes? Is it, you know, is there interest?
I think what I was thinking about for our division is to schedule a meeting with the new head of economic development.
And did you say that you added to this tracker where this lives? It's economic development. So
yeah,
okay,
I did.
I see that
so
all there.
I know it's
so
a small print, but
okay,
I
just
the
noticed
department
actually,
in charge
so.
Is up there.
So what I'd ask Nate to do is make sure that we were clear on where it was going, so that when we start talking to deputy executives about this, we know where it's living. So okay, thank you for doing that. I appreciate
no worries,
that.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is an economic development. So. We've got a whole thing there. We've got a new director who is, who knows how aware he is of any of these projects at this point. So I actually, you know, I'm going to try and take a meeting with him just to go over a bunch of these projects and just say this is all in queue and has been. And so I don't know actually when he's starting, but I'm assuming it's going to be sometime in early September, mid-September.
I haven't gotten a specific date, but...
Do you guys know?
You know
I feel like we did. We ask. I feel like I asked him.
It's.
That.
It's. I.
Remember. He answered that he has to get some housing.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah,
it was.
That was the last I heard.
It was definitely. It's definitely next month.
Okay.
It's definitely right. September.
Well, as soon as he gets installed, I'll try and get it on his calendar. So. All right, brownfields.
Yep. We are going very shortly. Going to get stuff from Labella. I'm in the process of continuing to hand off. To Kristen Wilson, Deputy Director of Planning, and we have a signed contract with B&L, and we've received initial requests to get started on the eight properties that they are going to do phase ones on.
Okay, so that's eight for phase one. There were more than eight though in the whole list.
Yeah, so
like
Labella was doing like 11 memory serves, and
okay.
Then B&L was doing another eight.
Okay, got it. All right. I'm glad to see some dates here now. This
yep.
is good.
Yeah, we got a lot more from DPW. They're going through. It gets a lot more consistent now that they have like final plans. It gets very precise with the bid process and mm-hmm. the timeline. So we received a schedule from them.
Okay.
Just
and we
busy.
Have an operator now, right?
I believe it's People USA.
That's
yeah.
my understanding too. So we have an operator for the crisis stabilization.
Okay.
And People USA, just so you both know, it's the ones that when Eve and I went down to Poughkeepsie, that's who was running their crisis stabilization
okay.
center. So it was really the model that we were looking at. We had a couple other bids on it, but we really liked what they were doing. So
excellent.
Happy to hear that.
Thank you.
All right, and that's through mental health. All right, Elizabeth Manor.
Unfortunately, I don't have a lot to share at the moment with that.
So my big question on this is, so there's a resolution for us to sell this property. So we need to know if that's legal. We need to know, can we do that?
Okay, so I can definitely advise on that.
Okay.
In terms of like the ARPA funding?
Yeah, if it's federal funding for mm-hmm. a specific purpose, can we then just go ahead and sell it to whoever the hell wants to buy it kind
so
of thing, you know?
Here's what I know, and I do think it's important to be very cautious on that, because there is a specific rule on federal interest in real property that applies to ARPA, and it's in the uniform guidance. I know it's been provided definitely to Public Works Committee. And I know also that the county executive is looking into this, and I believe the county attorney is looking into it further.
Okay.
Because, unfortunately, the law in the uniform guidance is a little vague. The takeaway I have from that
mm-hmm.
knowledge of that rule is that the federal government is keeping their interest in the dollar value put into the property, and if it's sold, we are subject to their say-so on how that gets handled and how the money gets returned or handled. That's how I interpret that rule. That's like the quick takeaway.
Mm-hmm.
So I am urging caution. They basically lay out like three potential ways that the federal government is going to decide that gets handled.
Okay.
And so it ends up, from the way I look at it, it ends up being, number one, finding the right person at the federal government, potentially finding the right person who has the time to look at it
mm-hmm.
in the federal government, and then receiving a determination from them and keeping them informed through the process and kind of following their rules. That's my interpretation of it,
okay.
which I know all basically just is my words of caution that we're subject to somebody else in this, and
mm-hmm.
that's what I'm concerned about.
Okay. I just want to make sure that the sponsor of the resolution understands all that, and
mm-hmm.
I believe it's Gavaris, right?
Is it John?
I think it's John.
I think
who's
so,
the
yeah.
sponsor of that. So I just want to make sure he's clued in, however we do that, but I don't want this to move forward and then all of a sudden we're stuck on getting in some sort of federal loop where we can't get an answer, and it's, you know, especially if the decision is yes, we're going to move ahead and we put it on market. I just don't want it to get messy that
yep.
way. So however we can like get at least close enough to answers. What about NACO? Would they be helpful with us with this kind of thing?
Yeah, I think there's been some discussion. Again, it's for where we're sitting, it's kind of moved up to the county executive level.
Okay.
So we're waiting to hear what the outcome has been, maybe with the county attorney's office
okay.
and things like that. That's why, you know, I don't know up to date. But they're certainly a good resource. And
so is the county attorney's office enmeshed in ARPA regulations?
I just know that they've been asked to look at this.
So to me, like, they're looking at it means two different things. You can look at it to say, like, can we sell a property? But you have to look at it in the context of ARPA rules and regulations. So that's my concern, is that what lens is the county?
No, I'm pretty sure they're, because I've provided that.
Okay, that's all I need to know. I just don't know
what
they're exactly looking at. So, okay, great. That's,
yeah,
that's
I think they're trying to find out. My guess is that they're trying to I think they're trying to go even deeper and find out more of, because it's a bit of a vague resolution, I think they're trying to, vague uniform guidance rule, I think
right.
they're trying to dive deeper and
perfect.
See if they can figure out more.
Perfect. That's great. I just want to make sure that we're going in the same direction. So, all right, let's move on from that.
Okay.
Security access. Now, this weren't we supposed to have a contract with?
Yes. So,
this is Community Foundations, right?
Correct. Unfortunately, it didn't make it in for resolution this time through, so it'll have to be next month.
Was there a hiccup or something?
There was a little bit of a hiccup. The contract is drafted. Community Foundations for the Hudson Valley is ready and has fully looked at the contract and is in agreement. They didn't provide any additional changes, and I think they generally like it. So we're ready to go. There was a little bit
of
a
timing. Did you send me the contract?
And I think you also, I hope Tom Corcoran, because if not, we'll be glad to.
So I haven't read it yet, so I will. Because it wasn't on tonight, so, but
right.
I'll get
so
to it.
So honestly, we provided it, because I know we have the meeting a week ahead just to prepare.
Yep.
So I expected it to be in front of the entire committee tonight,
right.
And there was a hiccup. Sorry for that. I did talk to Hudson Valley Community Foundations. They're understanding and they're okay with the additional month. What did I want to add though? I think at least it gives us time to ensure that, you know, if there's any questions, just ensure that we're following the resolution, but that doesn't always mean that we catch all the conversations and what the expectations.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a chance, I can at least say that, for a review. And
yeah, and maybe it'd be good for us to actually have a conversation with Community Foundations to make sure that our legislative intent is actually going all the way through to their execution, you know, or to their...
Yeah, and I think... Yeah, so we it's like a little bit out of order than the way I expect it to be. I mean, it's a lot
mm-hmm.
easier for me to talk about if it's directly in front of the committee.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we have provided the draft contract, and honestly, I'd have to run it through the county executive's office, but because I know we've already provided to you and
mm-hmm.
the deputy chair, I don't see why we couldn't expand to potentially the committee. I do think we tried to put a lot of effort into drafting this so that it was very clear and precise, and the county interest was protected in how this grant would run. And you know, basically it's the Schedule A and Schedule B.
We are just on eggshells right now.
I know.
And
so
I hate to say that, but it's like we have to be super diligent about all this stuff, especially now if it has to do with monies going to nonprofits or going to wherever it's going. We have to just be super careful because we cannot get caught in another problem. We just can't. We have to make sure. So I thank you,
mm-hmm.
and I just want to make sure that we are absolutely like looking at it with the most critical eye, and so.
And I think this is a chance to look at some of those things between now and the next
mm-hmm.
for me, the next executive resolution.
So will we be able to talk with Community Foundations? Is that a possibility?
Let me run it. I will absolutely. I always have to bring it to the county executive,
okay.
Laura Nordstrom. But I will ask and see if I can set something up.
Okay, yeah, I mean, we can invite them to the next meeting.
They plan to be here, and I have to hold them off. But yeah,
okay,
that's,
so if they can be here for the next meeting,
happen,
that would be great.
Okay.
So. Anybody else on this one? Okay. Green energy retrofit.
Yep, Mike Darcy, who is in and planning, are leading this. They do have, I do get copied on emails and things like that. I'm still waiting to be part of one of the, they have regular planning meetings, but I see a lot of items happening between not just RUPCO and not just the county, you know, like figuring out the details and making things go forward. They, I know that properties and owners have been identified, that there are, you know, work is starting from like the, trying to remember the correct word, the energy audit, I believe, for the properties.
Right.
And there is also with Citizens for Local Power is heavily involved as well, and provide, and they are getting people at the latest.
I've done two energy audits.
Thank you.
Oh, okay.
I completed them.
All right.
Yeah.
So when they do the energy audit, then there's all the recommendations for what the retrofit's going to be. So is that something that can still happen in this construction time frame, or are we talking spring at this point?
Don't know the answer to that. I just know the two audits have been completed and they're working with CLP. Also, because CLP is doing the job training part,
okay.
And so they're working with their auditors
okay.
and the job training aspect to,
all right.
to wrap them up.
All right.
But I know there's going to be like a nice one pager for the homeowner.
Okay.
That's like more easily understood than like a really intense report.
Right.
But they didn't mention on the last call what the timeline.
Can you ask about that?
Sure.
Okay. Great. All right.
Golden Hill's pretty much done. We submitted the last invoice. It's just not reflected because we have our report.
Okay. Land Bank. So I have an update on Land Bank. So I had a conversation with the county executive, and I had a conversation with the chair of the legislature, and there's still things in limbo with the Supreme Court decision of how that's going to play out. My understanding is there's also a conversation about how it's going to play out in New York State specifically. And so I think there's still conversations about City of Kingston joining them or us going on our own. And so I think it's still kind of in a limbo place. But I did ask the chair of the legislature for more details about the money itself. And I remembered she and I had this conversation way long time ago when we first started allocating funds, but it was really to start up the division, you know, basically like to start up the land bank. So there would be like initial costs for hiring and you know, basically setting up a program. I still don't know if that's $1 million, you know, I asked her to give me more solid numbers on that. So I'll report back to you about where that's at. But yes, legislatively.
Yeah. So I would just, you know, I'm wondering if it's the, you know, the will of the committee and of the legislature, if we can put a hard date on this in terms of when we might need to have a go no go on this, because
I'm with you. Because we have to allocate these funds,
And we have a deadline.
We have a deadline.
So, just being in a holding pattern indefinitely, going into maybe the spring, I think that might be an issue if we
agreed.
So we may. I don't know what the consensus of the committee is, but if we could establish some type of
and our chair, who's the driving force, won't be here.
Well,
you know.
I was going to say this is on your side because it's the chair.
Right.
The seven on our side are ready to cut it off.
Right.
So you got the numbers. You got the chair on your side. It's her baby.
Right.
And she's got a expiration.
I got you seven votes to be.
So I hear you. What I'm going to do is I'll just continue to push, and I will say we need a time frame for this. You know, the I've already said the committee's antsy, and we want to move on.
I mean, because that's not an insignificant amount of funding, right?
Agreed.
We definitely have things that.
Yeah.
Agreed. So I'll commit that I will continue to push this as much as I can.
I think it's a virtuous idea. You know,
mm-hmm.
I'm not opposed to it, you know, in the abstract.
Right.
But if it's not something that we think is going to be feasible within the time frame that we're working
right.
with, then
that's exactly right. So and I think New York State, you know, I need to dig in a little bit more about how New York State is dealing with this, and you know, if I find out that it's something that's going to be voted on next year in the fall, you know, like that's just doesn't work for us. So. So let me do a little bit more digging, and let me continue to push the conversation with both the chair and the county executive.
And you know, please, you know, keep the committee abreast.
Absolutely, I will do that.
Of conversation.
Absolutely. All right. Did you all have anything you want to add to that?
No.
All right.
Thank you.
Legal services. Word.
Yep. So we received our first invoice, and the way this is done. Is the money is in the DSS budget, but we worked it out that ARPA division would basically receive the invoice, organize it, review it for accuracy and completion, and in conformance with the contract, and then we have already, we've received the first invoice, we've done that. We did send it out to, I think yesterday, to DSS. Liz Provenzano and DSS, correct.
Okay.
So it's, we're seeing, it's always great to receive an invoice, because then we can see the work being done, how the money's being spent, and mm-hmm. the staff involved.
Mm-hmm.
They are also, they are good with their numbers, and I didn't put this into the packet, but I think I will start to. So we did get, it's a very data-driven report,
mm-hmm.
but we have numbers on how many folks they're serving.
That's great, gives us a sense of what's happening.
Okay, so number of cases, this is a reporting period from May to July. Number of cases handled during reporting period is 24. The goal was 75, so, and they gave us an invoice for 30,000. So honestly, their case numbers are higher than I'm thinking, are already projecting higher than expected.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
Sure, they have, so for May, July, number of cases handled during reporting period is 24. They were hoping to do at least 75 cases. They've only submitted for a similar period for $30,000 out of, you know, a much higher figure. So I'm just, it seems like good news already. It's only the first invoice, it's only
mm-hmm.
the first report.
You're
but
saying 75
total? Yeah, that was what their contract was pushing for.
Right, okay. Yeah.
The way you were saying, it made it sound like they were trying to,
they were trying to do 75 in this period.
That's,
oh,
absolutely
that's,
not.
That's right.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
No.
They
did 24.
I'm
out of total 75.
Yes.
On ads.
No, yes, I heard it too. I was like,
it's broken down. That's number of referrals received from other from the county department. They got one referral from the county, one referral from another community agency. They have a breakdown by zip code for those 24. They have some demographic information. They have no cases closed currently, which is understandable given it's just started, and so that's what I've received so far.
Okay. Amber has a financial note.
With the contract completed, we can encumber the funds at this point, so that should be done.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with a PO.
Yes.
Absolutely. We are meeting with Don Quisnell about that next week.
Okay.
We are looking at that and know that deadlines.
I think that has to be done by DSS because
mm-hmm.
it's their money.
And there's that.
So
yeah.
I'll make a note to.
Because the goal is to encumber.
I
right?
That.
Yes.
So,
as a, yep.
Yep.
It's a job and it's a very important one to get into the next year. So.
Yes.
Great.
Thank you.
All right. Main Streets we talked about.
Yep, we did. I know I have new numbers from mental health kids in schools, but I didn't want to reach out every month. I can provide updated numbers. For
okay.
Next month.
Did we get, we got information that they were going to be providing services over the summer, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Obviously, we're going into the school year now, so I would think that we're going to be seeing an increase in the numbers again.
I would think so. Unfortunately. I mean, fortunately,
right,
unfortunately,
yeah,
you know, it's a mixed bag there. All
right. Just get to the right viewing level. Molly, feel free to go ahead on nonprofit.
Yeah. So we finally got the Pine Hill Amendment executed,
mm-hmm.
so that's good. So I'm expecting a big chunk of money to go out the door once I get an invoice from them.
Mm-hmm.
We've been getting a lot of second tranches.
Mm-hmm.
So basically about 30 out of the 50 nonprofits have gotten their second tranche.
Okay.
So we've expensed about 3/5 of the awards.
Mm-hmm. And was it in two tranches? Or was it whatever they are
invoicing?
Most of
them, yes. But like some of them were only the one tranche.
Okay.
But
mm-hmm.
So essentially we have fully expensed awards for 30 out of 50.
Okay.
And then 10 out of the 50 have been completed 100%. So
okay.
They've given us their backup documentation, they have all their money.
Got it.
We're all good to go.
Okay,
on that.
That's great.
So.
Are you going to update these numbers to reflect the two the, well, it's the one nonprofit, because one is still there, but one, so it'll end up being
50.
Yeah, 50 out of 50, right?
Correct. So, okay. Right now, you're right. So, that's we don't true. Have...
51.
It's going to be 51 because we might need... We have to decide if we're doing a new...
I thought we were...
No. We got to look at how we're doing Shadowlands.
That's what I was going to say.
Well,
are we amending that, or is it a new contract?
It's not going to be...
I don't know, but it wouldn't be
two nonprofits. It's
correct. It's one nonprofit.
Right. Shadowlands received an award from our nonprofit, mm-hmm. and they received an award from CARES. We might just need. We might.
But if we're moving the money over into a nonprofit, then they're not going to be related to CARES anymore at all. It'll be nonprofit.
And I think their existing award is below the.
Yep.
Just under $50,000 threshold. So if it was added and amended,
mm-hmm.
and had a correct Schedule A for scope of work, so that was
mm-hmm.
clear that each award has different things tied to it.
Yep.
I think we could probably do that.
That'd be great.
Yep.
Is that a contract that would have to come back to?
No, that would because
it's under $50,000, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
That's good.
I think we can make that work.
All right, great. If you could then adjust the just.
We'll
sort it out first.
Yeah, we've basically been waiting for the money to be transferred. Then
okay.
We know it's in the grant.
All right.
And the contracts to be signed.
Okay.
And then we just try to keep these numbers official, like when they're real, that
yep.
we change.
So yep, that sounds great.
OSI.
So, all right, so OSI, yep. They have been moving. I know these things haven't changed a lot. They're pretty much done with pre-development. We got a new, they made a request for 2.1 on the O&W trails, which is the first construction tranche. So when that goes, that has been entered into New World. So we're looking to get that out soon.
Okay.
And that will reflect getting out of pre-development and into construction. That's really where they are.
Okay, great.
Just
as a note, while I'm thinking about it, so you know, we've been talking about this report. At some point, we want to put out a report, and I think it's even more important to show all the amazing work that's been done with this ARPA money, because it's now taken a few hits, and you know, in the press, it's they're equating it with, you know, mismanaged money, and I want to make sure that we're able to say, look. All the effect that, you know, all the impact that this money has done, and so anyway, I think that's a good project to talk about.
Yeah. Ashley, do you want to report on?
Mostly what we talked about earlier, just the contracts are being drafted and
okay.
mm-hmm. this for next month.
All right.
Okay. Just a quick question on that, on part. Do we have an estimate on how many? Contracts we think we're going to be seeing before, you know, the winter.
I would hope at least four. I mean, internally we have our own goal. I think I thought I'd be a little bit farther at this point, but it's basically getting that template firmed up and resolved, and then I hope to move.
Okay, so
quarter. Yeah.
So you're thinking about a quarter. Almost a quarter.
It's tricky because there's 17, and I think we're already as a division already feeling the timeline of obligated for the end of 2024.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we want to give the towns as much time to
understand
the deadlines as well. So.
And this is one that still has about 318,000 left in it. Am I right on that number?
Yes.
That's unallocated? That's
correct.
That wasn't allocated.
So we need to decide as a committee, are we going to
open it back
keep
up.
It in that allocation, or are we going to move it out into sort of a more...
This one was actually 456,000.
How much?
456,000.
456. Where's the 318 from?
Sewer.
Sewer. Numbers.
So speaking of sewer and water, those contracts can largely be encumbered as well?
Yes.
We have all but five signed.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So you mean make purchase orders for
yes.
them? They're capital? Are they capital? Or are they all?
Check. I believe it's capital.
capital, then we don't need
it
to
just
create the POs for it.
You're saying that because based on the budget, but not based on the ARPA requirement, that it be obligated.
So contract makes it obligated. So if it's a signed contract, that counts as an obligation.
Okay, so our financial statement should reflect that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's tricky because we have to do the PO, and I think our working practice is when it's in operating to, you know, have contract and PO. So that is like an obligated for the operating. But then when we're in the capital, which then
things get a little goosey.
It's just
loosey
like
goosey
where is
because
it?
The budget rolls
but
forward.
But certainly, the contract signing is the major piece that takes the most time for obligated, and
mm-hmm.
that's why. Yeah, so I would say you can always check with me, but pretty much at contract signing, you know, I think we're safe.
That's usually when we report on it. Is if it's signed.
That's also true.
Okay. It'd be good at some point to see that. I don't know if you sent it the updated of what's obligated at this point.
Yeah, that's what I'm referring
here. Okay,
to.
So, that would be really good. Okay. All right. Let's continue on. So we just talked about the sewer and water, right? Let me go back. Okay, this is the
quality in
quality
of a better term.
Yeah.
And I understand that we're waiting on engineering. There are a number of things that I have talked to Director Doyle, because I know there's going to need to be it's not presented in any sort of full format, but I believe there's going to have to be some sort of resolution regarding an easement. So that's just one piece, and I'm looking at, you know, we got to get, obviously it's a subrecipient, so they are working with their engineer to get the correct documents and information from their engineer, and then we can work with the subrecipient on that. That's what I understand it to be.
Okay. So, just let me ask, so now I'm seeing nonprofit grant, OSI, parks, all this is under the ARP division.
Mm-hmm.
So who is the deputy executive who's connected with all these? Are they all different?
So, no, that's a good question. We report and have meetings weekly with Laura Nordstrom, who I understand she is not a deputy executive, but Chris Kelly is deputy executive of the Department of Finance.
All right, so anything that says ARP is basically...
And I guess it's also a good question, too, because there has been some breakdown with the deputy county executives. Like, Joanna Contreras is doing more of the mental health because it comes more under her purview.
Right.
And I know Amanda Laval, partly from her past work with Brownfields and Food Security and Access, I've been more in touch with her on some of those things. But my key reporting source weekly is Laura Nordstrom, and I think that one reason maybe that it's been set up that way is like Laura can go
mm-hmm.
into the different deputy executives.
Okay. But I guess for my purposes, it would be good to know, like, is the parks program, I guess that's not through any of our divisions then, right, other than ARP, right? It's not through planning.
Yeah,
through,
and there's really, you know, that's a report to Laura.
Yeah,
not
okay.
You know, I only know through experience and emails, like who...
all right.
Yeah.
The reason I'm asking is just because, you know, we're getting questions about, like, how are projects moving along. So if I need to, like, put fire in somewhere, I need to know where the fire is going to go. So, you know.
Yep.
Not...
On nonprofits, I've been dealing with Laura. She's been quite helpful on
that.
So,
yeah. Well, and she's the one we report to weekly, or we try to have a meeting with weekly. So she's gonna probably be the most knowledgeable.
If there's a way that you can add that to this line here, just like where's the buck stop, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah, I
so
could
that would
probably
be
fit in like a.
You can just put initials.
In
just put in
no
initials
problem.
For whoever it is, and that would be helpful. So, all right, great. Respite houses, where?
I know. I don't have much to report, unfortunately. It is in the county executive's office. I have asked Laura about it. I understand that there's been results from the RFP and the, I believe it's People USA who was looking for properties, but mm-hmm. I don't have the outcome of those results, and I am eager to hear more.
Okay. I think I'm going to invite Laura to come to a meeting here and give us a report out on all these things that are kind of in that queue. So, all right. Sewer and water, we talked about a little bit, but we've got.
Yeah, and I was
5 month contracts to go. Is that what we're looking
that's
at?
That's true.
Okay.
I was in touch with a number of the municipalities today. Just like a quick note. On the amount left over from sewer and water, I actually think that number is going to go up slightly because
mm-hmm.
Maybe a happy thing, Town of Gardner, their bid came in well under what they
expected.
Really? Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so
that's
they're
great.
Actually not going to need to utilize.
That's great. So maybe this is something we put on our next agenda is, again, sort of a deep dive into all the surplus in these different allocations, and the decision of do we then just create another round or not do another round, but actually put all those funds into another fund pile that we say, okay, now we can look at some of the other projects that we didn't fund. So let's make that a something for next meeting that we actually really talk through and make some decisions on. So.
Aaron, how's Sorgatys coming along with their need for that?
So I have waiting on the planner, the village planner, and Mayor Murphy to hopefully find a date that's going to work in the next week or two to sit down and discuss exactly what the financial request is. But I know it's significant, and the planner has been unavailable to meet, and so I didn't want to have a meeting with the village Trustee Hackett and the mayor without having the planner there. They wanted to have the planner in the room, so hopefully.
All right.
Potentially that's where the rest of it will come. There's 300 and change plus whatever's being back.
Yeah.
Yep.
So,
right.
Assumingly, you'll eat that up.
But I mean, who else has not? Are there other municipalities that weren't in round one or round two?
That's all done. If you're coming forward and that number's there. For your need up to the 500,000, like everybody else took, I think.
Yeah.
It should be available to you, and then that'll be the end of that money in that pot.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not going to make any promises to.
I just don't want you to lose out. You've been working on it.
Yeah,
I don't want to throw this money back into a pot.
Well,
I
wish that I wish they had gone in on one or two, but you know, it wasn't even brought to my attention until after we had already had the deadline for round two. So it's just it's logistically kind of puzzling why the village kind of didn't take us up on the offer, but
this is their shot.
Right.
So
how much do you think will come back from that Gardner project?
I need to really crunch it.
Okay.
I don't have an answer.
Okay. All right.
That's
that'd be good to know. Just where that
ends
up.
I hope that worked out by the next meeting.
All
right.
So
we talked about solar gardens.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Small business we talked about,
and then there's solar.
So, any movement on solar?
So, we've talked internally a bit about when we'd like to get to it. Certainly,
mm-hmm.
Obviously, parks is a real priority in front of it. We also talked about reaching out to the Department of Environment to try, because we believe that they have a lot of, you're welcome to speak on this because I know you saw some of this.
Yes, we talked internally about starting conversations with Department of Environment because really they're more the experts, so you know there's no reason to reinvent the research wheel when they already have all the solar information probably.
Mm-hmm.
So we talked to Laura about it, and I think we were going to just set something up.
Yep.
Department of Environment, so kind of just like start the ball rolling instead
okay.
of just waiting until like we are freed up from parks,
okay.
you know, so we can get overlap a little bit.
Okay.
And I think we've talked a little bit about, I've taken on more of the role of contract drafting,
right.
and I think Ashley might be able to take on more of the role of like program design and like
yeah, so we might split some things up.
Okay. All right, that sounds good. And so those monies will go through, so we're not subcontracting out for any of this other stuff, right? So it's just the boost for Main Street.
You're talking about like grant programs?
Yeah.
Well, the solar would be a municipal grant program.
Exactly, right.
So it takes time to do that, right. Of course.
Yeah, I'm just looking back.
Yeah, it's actually a little worrisome to me because this would be the third municipal grant program, and I know we have our own capacity issues as a division, but then the municipalities have their own capacity issues as
right.
well. I mean, we're trying to do it all in a compressed time period.
Right. Any word from the feds about the potential of elongating the? I've never heard anything yet, but
I have not heard anything. Honestly,
okay.
we went to one. It was a consultant, but informational session on ARP rules, and they actually highlighted that you know the subrecipients are also subject to the deadline.
Right.
I think
okay.
maybe some interpretation there, but. That was concerning, just if that is, you know, but if we can, yeah, so that's where I have some concern about, you know, not only would we need to be in contract with them, but then they would need to be in contract potentially with their
right.
GC or whoever that
yep.
is. That's a tough one.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, thank you for that update. I think while we're still talking about this, I want to pull this out of order and just talk a little bit about the final rule
mm-hmm.
update. Or do you want to talk about the tracker?
No major updates. I mean, some of the encumbrances were discussed today, so I think that's going to be some important movement on there.
Okay, excellent. That's great. All right, then I will move on to the final rule update. So there was a final rule that was it adopted on the 10th of August? Is that the actual day?
It's an interim final rule. So it's basically... It's fine for the committee to look at it. I mean, it is actually a period where the federal government is taking input. So,
So this was not finalized. It's an interim.
So it hasn't been published. It hasn't been published. It's still in public comment.
Okay.
It's out for
correct.
Trial.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
there
the
might
interim
be changes
final
to it.
Rule is almost like the draft, and
got
they went
it.
Through this with the. I don't want it to be confused because there is a final rule for ARPA, which is
yeah.
like 400 pages long.
Yeah.
And this is a widening of the uses.
Yeah.
But it requires an additional interim final rule and final rule on the new provisions.
Got it. So I sat in on this conference with NACO, the National Association of Counties, and it was like an hour-long conversation about this interim final rule. I wasn't clear on that, though. They didn't frame it that way at all. They basically, what I was hearing was like, this is now
this is
the way that it's going to be. Yeah. So I'm actually surprised to hear that. But yeah. So what it did was it opened up more possibilities for spending that would be directly in sync with their final rule. So it had to do with response to natural disasters, which also included. Preparation for disasters that you could see in the future kind of thing. And that had to do with, it was connected with FEMA funding. So and tell me if I'm getting any of this wrong, but what it seemed to be was if it was FEMA eligible, then that would make it ARPA
mm-hmm.
eligible. There was also infrastructure, like surface transportation. And then the third one was Title One. Is that what it is?
Yes.
Title One. And so that was like community development grants. And so again, like they had like language about if it was eligible for the community development grant, it would be eligible under this funding. So and then the transportation ones. Let me go back a second. Those were DOT. So it was kind of like they were saying, you know, if it could be funded under DOT. Funding, it could be FEMA, and that was loosely they were saying like here's some rough structure that you might want to look at for the projects. In my opinion, this is all great, but we don't have that much money left, and so you know, I mean, it would be great if we could do something that's in line with their final rule and eligibility, but I'm not sure that any of these are really going to be applicable for us. So, good question.
I was just going to say in terms of. when we possibly going into next year, I don't know in terms of what you were just talking about with emergency preparedness.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if whatever we have left in the piggy bank, I don't know if anything would be potentially able to be used for EOC.
Oh, that's interesting.
For the EOC project. If this funding is potentially a revenue stream that would be able to be put towards that, it's something to think about.
I hadn't thought that. It's definitely something to think about. I don't know about that. And the other thought I had was, are there things that we've already allocated? Could they be moved? But I think I heard them saying something about, like, not being able to, once it's already been basically reported on, or...
Yeah, you can't supplant the funds. So if it's already using a funding source, you can't change the funding source, but you could supplement.
Got it. So, okay. Yeah. All right.
So if there's, like, money left on a project that hasn't been, expensed,
okay,
you can use...
Got it. As long as it's within these new guidelines, right? Is there anything I missed or anything I got totally wrong on that?
Just to clarify with the surface transportation projects, it can be a project using DOT funds, a project not using DOT funds,
okay,
or another. There's a third option. So just so you know, it doesn't have to be with DOT.
Got it.
Those are the general guidelines.
Okay.
There's like 26 surface transportation programs that are eligible.
Got it.
But it might be moved. So.
All right. Well, let's find out if it actually gets approved. So, is this Congress approves it? Or?
I wanted to just make sure there was no misunderstanding, because the interim final rule does mean that you can use the money for these things.
Okay.
But it's also, so it's an approval.
Okay.
But it's also simultaneously public input is being taken.
Okay.
And then when they will, look at that public input, and they may make some tweaks in the final.
And then it will become a final. Yeah. It will become an amended
with the interim
final
rule.
Right.
We can do these new.
Got
uses.
It. Okay. All right. That makes sense. The other conversation that I had recently with the county executive had to do with, I brought up the idea again about commissary kitchens, which I still think that's a good idea. If we can figure out the right way to do something with that. And we had this really interesting conversation about our Meals on Wheels program that we have, and the fact that we actually bring in the meals frozen from out of state, actually, is where
really?
I have to dig into this a little bit more, but the concept of actually creating a kitchen where we could create our own Meals on Wheels using local produce
without having to freeze things.
We could still actually buy a bunch of freezers and have them all frozen so that we can still ship them around, but it could all be locally created. And I love that idea. I just thought, but we'd have to figure out again, like, the whole sustainability thing. Would we be able to then, I don't know how billing works for Meals on Wheels. Is that a, do we get reimbursed for meals from the state? I have no idea how that works. So I'd have to find out a little bit more about that. But I think it is, right? Mm-hmm. I think it's a program that if we could set it up, it could then be its own self-sustaining program.
Reimbursed, is it through Medicaid or?
I don't know. I don't know, actually. No? I have to figure this out. But I just wanted to bring it up as, I thought it was an interesting idea. It kind of sparked, and we haven't really, we've done a little bit of work for seniors, but we haven't done a specific program for seniors, so I thought that might be
Silver Gardens.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, that's part seniors, so this would be really.
What do you consider seniors?
Well, I know. Yeah, I guess it is all seniors, so.
Especially if it's 60,
yeah,
especially
62,
if we're going 62.
If it's 62, yeah. Anyway, so it's an interesting idea. So let's think about that one. All right. Any other thoughts on final rule stuff? We're done with that, right? Any other project stuff? All right. Motion to adjourn?
Motion.
Second.
Second.
Thank you, sir. All in favor?
Aye.
Great. All right, thank you. Have a good long weekend. I hope everybody has fun. Could I ask you?
That's right. Yes, it is.
6:05.